most of you have. I have one. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I said, I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't like people that have to be and they're doing something because somebody asked them to do it. I hope before this day is over, this scripture will be at the top of the list of your favorite scriptures. I'm going to ask y'all to repeat that after me, but first of all, yesterday I was sick. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Yesterday, I think a chicken had lips, had more money than I had. I was broke. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Yesterday, I didn't have a job. But this is the day that the Lord has made. But what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that I don't care what was happened yesterday. But when you have the voice that said, this is the day, you don't know how blessed it is to say, this is the day. See, when I wake up in the morning, I go out to get the paper. When I go out to get the paper, Linda loved to read the paper in the morning. And I always thank God, I thank him for, I mean, it'd be cold, it can be warm, the sky can be still dark. But I said, Lord, I thank you that I'm able to walk out here and get this paper. And the reason I do that, and when I bring the paper back in the house, I take she wrap ours in two plastic bags. I take the tiny little plastic off and put ball up and put in the trash. I wash my hand so Linda won't have to touch it. And when I do that, the first thing she can do is look at the death notices. I mean, nothing wrong with that. It makes my this is the day even better. Because if my name was in there, I wouldn't have said this is the day that the Lord has made. Now, I don't know what the Lord has done for you yesterday. But I will know what he did for you yesterday, depending on how you say this is the day that the Lord has made. Are we ready for it? You can sit down after this. Said, what? Well, not yet. I want to hear you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, and have your seats. Today, the Lord, I believe, is going to do something miraculous. I don't know what he's going to do. But he had me to say something else. But when I said, this is the day, this must be the day for me not to say what I had something else to say. I don't want y'all to be too spiritual minded today. Keep an open mind. I have something that the Lord's going to have me to say about middle way of the message. And I'm going to deal with that when I get to it. This is concerning the women. Because I want to say stuff. I said, Lord, you know how I am. I want to keep them interested. Keep them wondering what I'm going to say next. I keep them wondering what you're going to say next. My girl over there, Robin, come to Bible study, and sometimes she give her testimony in church. She said somebody else would say something, and she said, I'm going to piggyback on that. That's a piggybacking sister over there. But I have a title for you. Don't get too serious now. Don't get too spiritual. Blowing the Mind of Jesus. And that piggyback thing, that's right on time, girl. Because Jesus Christ today would like to offer you a piggyback ride. All right, all right. He wants to offer you the opportunity to piggyback on his authority. Everything about Jesus' life and ministry is special. But in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, it's very unique. Now, I have maybe a lot to say, but I'm going to pick some scripture. I said it's going to be between 7 and one, verses 1 and 10, all right? So just follow me. I'm trying to go slow so I can remember everything he wants me to say. I say that because according to, see, chapters 7, 1 through 10 is something real unique about that. But according to verse 9, after he has the conversation with the centurion, it says, now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him. Let me tell you something about this word marvel. It's not found but too many times like that in certain versions of the Bible. The word marvel means to something that causes wonder. It has the word astonished, astonishment. Has the word shocked, to admire, amaze. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him. That's the centurion. The scripture says he was marveling at different things that occur. And the reason he marveled at him in this verse is because of something he said. We'll get to that later, but I want to. And where's the other one? Matthew and Mark, chapter 6. You don't have to go there. Chapter 6, verse 6. It talks about him marveling then too. But it was far different than how he marveled in Luke chapter 7. Where it says, and he marveled at their unbelief. In Mark 6 and 6. He was, as we put it, shocked. You see, you see me doing all this stuff. You heard of me doing all of this stuff. He says, I'm shocked of your unbelief. Because when he went there to his own home, when he went there, that everybody knew him, they heard of, at least heard about him. Jesus couldn't heal but a few people. Pastor Tony, it's like you leaving church and you went all around preaching the gospel. You too, Tony, y'all go around preaching. Then you come back home and people know you. You went all foreign countries. Everybody you touched got healed. You come back here, only a few people healed. Everything I'm going to say here, we as leaders of the church have experienced a lot of this. I'm taking my time because it's not going to be long. We went to Jamaica just on a ministry of saving lives. We will meet the first day we were there. And while we were there and people found, as they found out who we were and where we were staying, we couldn't leave the porch of the hotel that we were staying in. People were there early in the morning. Everybody that we touched got some type of healing. We instantly seen stuff happen. God was confirming and said, look, I sent you here because I want you to see something. Because these people have heard about me, but the way it's over there, they prejudice against some people. Because if you don't have money, you can't go to this church. If you don't have a new hat or some kind of, you couldn't go to this church. They had their isms and schisms. And I said, man, I serve a Jesus Christ that's for everybody. Jesus was shocked. But where he marvels at this guy's, the centurion's belief, what he calls great faith. And he was still shocked. But it was a difference. So Jesus wants to give you and me the opportunity to shock him. What has the Lord done for you? Think about it. I want you to really consider this, because he's going to do something. I don't know what, but he's going to do something before this is over. I'm going to talk about me, something that you probably possibly can identify with. Every time that I got a healing that I wasn't expecting it, I was shocked. I was amazed. Jesus, you did this for me? When I needed money, it came from nowhere. I was amazed. I needed a car that would take me back and forth to work without breaking down. Even though, according to man, it was impossible. But God made it possible. And really was I amazed. Now we are always so sure and we're always so believing when God amazes us. And then we go to pray for something and we don't get it. God says, I'm a jealous God. Y'all going to have to show me something. I amazed you. I shocked you. Now's your time to ride piggyback on my authority and give me something to be shocked and amazed about. Jesus is giving us the time, the chance, the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and he has given us the opportunity to blow his mind. He has given, from this story, the centurion story, he is giving us an opportunity for whatever you can think he did yesterday, and you're still holding faith and believing even though you didn't receive it yesterday, to blow his mind. He said, you were almost at death's door, but you still say, this is the day. I know you do your praise and your worship, but when you come, it's guaranteed you praise and worship, because you didn't let that disappoint you. You didn't let this turn your back. You didn't let this turn your back on Jesus, because you said, Lord, that was yesterday. This is a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm looking for you to continue on doing more. So what's going to happen today? There was this centurion. If you'll set the scene. The centurion was, let's say, a mid-level officer in the Roman army. You see, he oversaw 100 men. 100 is a centurion. Maybe that's why they got the word centurion, because that meant 100. See, the Roman army, they actually had 6,000 officers, soldiers. But the Roman centurion, the Roman soldier, only was over 100. He was much like a captain in our army. He had a servant who had taken ill. He got sick. Worse than that, he was about to die. It says that the centurion heard about Jesus. You know, see, it's not like he was a Christian, but he wasn't. But he heard about Jesus. Just heard about him. the word got out that Jesus is something else. Sheila, I almost sung a song and we would depart. Because what this centurion heard and what he heard about Jesus, that something different was about him, he said, because the blind man was seeing. He said the lame walked. And the deaf and the dumb, they were talking. So something different about this man. I mean, this Jesus is blowing folks' mind. He is shocking people with what he was doing. And he sends a couple of Jewish leaders. This is a Roman soldier now. He sends a couple of his Jewish leaders to ask Jesus to come and save his servant who was dying. Now, that's unusual within itself because the Jews hated the Romans. But this Roman was of a different caliber. Because the Jewish leader said that this Roman loved our nation and even went deep in his pockets to pull out money to build our synagogues. He said, this guy has love for our nation. He said, Jesus, you ought to go help him. You ought to save his servant. So Jesus is on his way to the centurion's house, who has made a request for prayer. The request for prayer was to save my servant's life. So far, so good. Jesus was on his way. He had gotten the prayer request. And it looks like things is looking up. The answer is on the way. However, he says in verse 6, now Jesus started on his way with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to Jesus, Lord, do not trouble yourself any further, for I am a man worthy I'm not worthy of you to come under my roof. In other words, don't come to my house. He sends some of his friends and say, tell Jesus, don't come any closer because I'm not worthy. One of the things we need to note as we get into this is this centurion, he may have had a lot of money. He may have had a lot of clout. But in the presence of Jesus, he was a nobody. He was a nobody. I don't care how high you get, how much money you have, how much clout you accumulate. In the presence of Jesus, you're not worthy. So this highfalutin centurion understood. And he knew his place in the presence of Jesus. He says, don't come to my house. But wait a minute. You just asked him to come. You just asked him to come and save your servant who is now, and now you're telling him not to come. What do you want him to do? The centurion says, he says, I'm not worthy. Verse 7 says, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. The key to this whole story is verse 8. This is a man that wasn't saved. So often we say, the miracles are not for the saved. The miracles are for the unsaved. Hopefully they'll see something miraculous that will cause them to allow Jesus to enter into their heart. Verse 8 says, for I also am a man placed under authority with soldiers under me. And I said to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him. Why? Because he said, I am also a man under authority. Let's go back to that one word he said, also. He says, I am also a man under authority. When you use that word also, you mean like something else. In this case, he meant like someone else. And some people get so spiritual, say, I am like Jesus. We're supposed to be like Jesus. This pandemic has driven Christians, I don't know, out of their minds. Who am I supposed to represent? See, once we get this is the day that the Lord has made, I don't want you to forget that. Something's going to happen. Because I didn't get that verse until this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He says, I also am a man under authority. Well, who was he talking about? Who was he talking to? He's talking about Jesus. He says, Jesus, I'm like you. I'm like you. Why? I am a man under authority. Why does he say that? The word has gotten out about Jesus doing all these miracles. Again, the blind man saw, the lame man walked, folk who couldn't talk are now talking, folk who wouldn't, he even raised people from the dead. The centurion says, Jesus, I know how you're doing that. You're doing all this stuff. You're doing all this because you are under authority. Because I also. You are pulling all this stuff off there because somebody over you is allowing you to do it. You are under authority also. I also. Jesus Christ in his humanity operated not by virtue of his deity, but by virtue of his submission to Jesus says in John 5:19, he says, therefore, Jesus answered and said unto him, truly, truly, and look what I tell you about that when he says something twice. He wants you to pay attention to this. He means he wants you to see something. I said to you, the Son cannot do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show greater things, greater works than these, so that you may marvel. Catch that word, marvel? So let me give you the principle, and then we're going to break this thing down further. Because this is a principle that will give you access to the miraculous. You cannot exercise legitimate authority over what you are supposed to be over unless you learn to be under what God has put you over. Don't ask me to repeat that. If you're under what God has put you under, you can ask God to help you deal with stuff that he put you underneath, put what he put underneath you. If you are out of alignment with that which is legitimately supposed to be over you, you lose heaven's authority to be able to boss situations that's supposed to be under you. If you rebel against the authority up here, up here is not going to help you with your situation down here. I'm a man, he says, I'm a man under authority, but I'm over stuff because I tell stuff what to do. I tell stuff to go and they go. I tell stuff to stay, and they stay. I tell stuff to do stuff. And the reason I can tell stuff what to do is because something's over me telling me what to do. I don't want you to miss this. You cannot have authority over until and unless you are submitted under. And because most people do not understand this theological principle of authority, that is why prayers don't get answered. That's why victory is not achieved. That's why power doesn't get recognized. Changes are made in spite of prayers being made, because the prayers are being prayed out of alignment that we are not properly under, or we are not properly over, whichever way we had it. It could be both ways. And once you are misaligned in God's kingdom program, yes. What you have done is to cut the cord of transferred authority. Jesus. The centurion says, because I know how this thing works. You don't even have to come here. Just talk. Just say the word, because I know you're operating under, and in Jesus' case, perfect authority. Amen. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, says, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. Yes. Guess how they got the authority? Yes. Jesus gave it. He gave it so they had it. They had it over the very things that were possible to have had them. Many of us have things that are trying to have us, trying to own us, trying to control us, dictate to us. But because Jesus gave it, they had it. And because they had it, they could use it. What Jesus has given us, we have it, but we don't think to use it. Yes. I got $1 million in the bank, and I need money out here. But if I don't go to the bank and get it, what good is it going to do me? Here I am, got a bad, financial report, and all this stuff is running downhill, and I got $1 million in the bank. Driving a car that won't run, because I got $1 million in the bank. In the bank. God allowed to stay there until I recognize where my power is. Amen. Alignment is the key to not only answered prayer, but spiritual authority. Seeing heaven come down in history. Seeing heaven transform history. And putting the devil under his feet instead of him being knocked in the back of the head. That's why we had that song, Under My Feet. We used to sing that. Under my feet.
That's right.
Now my healing is complete.
Yes.
Jesus swore principalities made him whole. I've been open, showing up openly. Under my feet, the devil's under my feet. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. That's in Matthew 28:18. He says, all authority is given to him. So guess who is in charge now? So the alignment to Jesus Christ is critical if you want heaven to join you in history. He kind of breaks it down into some categories. And this is where I have to stop and say something to you, the women. While I am up here, the rest of this message, there will be no throwing of vegetables, no throwing of rotten fruit, especially canned fruit. Now, I guess it's safe for me to start. You're the very one throwing the tomato up here. As long as it's not in a can, you're good. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Then he goes into the family relations. All right. Ready to go? This is going to help somebody. Hopefully without hurting me. Verse 18. Wives. Hey, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Look at your wife and let's smile. You know she's going to get you back. See, I got quiet all of a sudden. I was hearing breathing, but I don't even hear that now. But I'm gonna read something. I just got, it's dealing with something else, but it's also dealing with the woman with her covering. It's let me see. Where you want? Why you want to do it? Well, I'm trying to go, but this thing won't speed, won't let me go. This is Corinthians 11th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. I'm just going to read a little bit because I didn't have it, but I know this is dealing with a woman as her head, her covering, okay? But it's somewhat related. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority of her head because of the angels. Verse 11, however, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. I'm going to read a little bit further. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman. And all things originated from God. Verse 13. Judge yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? 14. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? Verse 15. But if a woman has long hair, it is the glory to her. For her hair is given to her for a covering. For a covering. Let me stop there. That's going to put me too far off where I want to go. But see, women, y'all going to get a chance to smile in somebody else's face in a minute. For the cause ought the woman to have power on her own head because of the angels. Just read that. Okay, are you done with that? He goes on to say, Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. Husbands. See, let me get something straight here. Married couples. This is as you're doing things as the Lord is your head. Okay? One can be off, it won't work. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be embittered against them. In 1 Peter 3, you can just write this down. I don't think I had any of these up. 1 Peter 3 and 7 says, husbands, treat your wives with equal honor as your prayers are not hindered. Wives, look at your husband and say, I told you so. I know you got a kick out of that. So many men who get on their knees is wasting time. Because he wants to be over something and not without willing to be under. Woman, you submit to me while I submit to nobody. Nobody gonna tell me what to do, but I'm gonna tell you what to do. The reason why she is rebellious is because she is following rebellion. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 and 3, every man is to be under Christ's authority. You do not get to be a total independent male. You are under authority. The Bible says, and if Jesus, the man of all men, had to be under his father's authority, what makes you think you don't have to, you can be independent of Jesus' authority? That makes you a male rebel. It says, let not the man think he will receive anything from the Lord. God's not going to listen to your prayer. And no, he's not going to change your woman's situation. He's not going to change your woman either. Because you are in rebellion. I am in rebellion when we do not take this biblical posture. Verse 20. Verse 20. He goes on to say, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So you're dealing with the husband, you're dealing with the wife, you're dealing with the children. And the reason you should teach your children to obey, it's not just because you are their parents, of course. They should, because you are their parents, they should obey you. But because they want to make God happy. They want to make God excited. See, I want you to obey me because I'm your father. But I also want you to obey God because he says, long life will be your days. And we don't want our children to die prematurely. So obedience is tied to child's alignment. Then he comes to the parent. He says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, fathers, do not exasperate your children. So that will not lose heart. You just can't pick on your children and all ignorantly because they're going to cause them to lose heart. So many kids going on today, you think this pandemic should bring people closer, should bring families closer. But everything this thing is doing, and it's starting in the house of the Lord, it's turned people apart. It's causing trouble. People have problems because they don't have jobs. They lost their job. Oh, I'm just too fast. I'm going to get to that job thing in a minute. Let me finish dealing with the kids. See, we are responsible for the spiritual imprint of our children. You are responsible for your discipline of your children. You are responsible. Yes, she fills the gap when you can't be there. If you are providing for work, and I talked to the male, you're out the house providing for the family, sure, your wife fills in the gap. She fills in the gap, but she does not replace you. But we have a generation today of where dad is not home, might as well not be home because he doesn't own up to his responsibility. Verse 22 says, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth. Clarify that as today. Today we would say employees, obey your employers. See, that can be a hard thing because we have some devilish employers. But we have to do according to the Lord. And I have plenty of experience here. Not with eternal service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Amen. Verse 23 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for man. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. Right. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. That's getting more and more important even this day and time because so many people has lost jobs and those who kept their job, it seems like the employees are trying to be hard on them because they want to get rid of them because they may have more time and greed, so they want to get rid of them so they can bring some of their buddies in to fill their gap, but they want to hire more people. He goes on to talk about employers in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, masters, these are the ones over the servants. Grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Do you see the authority? Masters, do you really want to see heaven do stuff that will blow your mind? Because you done shocked Jesus. You know, I look at the, I think about how these, some of the businesses has closed up. And I think about the businesses that has their Jesus as their authority. I look at Chick-fil-A. They came against some kind of, what do you call it? Come on. To try to go against the business. He closed on Sundays. When you go there and you leave, we went yesterday and it says, Lord bless you, praise the Lord. It's always, even from when we stopped, you know, there. And I think that business had done more business. And every time I go by that Chick-fil-A, it had cars wrapped around. Not only one lane, two, but three lanes wrapped around it. And another, it's a couple other businesses. One is for my son. That is a spiritual operation. It's not in the food ministry, but things that he thought that he had, and Lord, look, if you do be obedient and believe in God for your jobs and for your placement in a job, he won't let you, he won't steer you wrong. And Eric, he prayed. All the time. He follows the voice of the Lord. He had jobs that he knew he had it before, you know, when he was laid off. Before he knew he had this job. And he, for some reason, the guy said, oh man, it sounded like it was a shoe-in. But he didn't get it. He never got a call back. And then he got this job. It's the greatest blessing. This is going to be his own testimony, but God is looking out for his children. Because I've been under and now have authority, legitimately over, to see God invade things that looked like they were dying. Remember, the servant is dying. Everybody got any dying. You have anybody having a dying situations going on in your life? I mean, things that look like there's no way out. So if you don't, you'll find out before the end of the service. So sometimes, forget it. That anyway, I just want everybody to be blessed.
Amen.
You know, even when I don't have, I told Linda, I said, you know why? You know, sometimes finances run short, but you know why? It seems to come from nowhere, it seems to come unexpected, because see, I was a waiter, and sometimes coming out the kitchen, food just wasn't right. It was down from what they charged for it. It was nasty. But they always blame the waiter or waitress. I made a point. From that day, I'm gonna give. I don't care how bad the food, how many times I have to send it back. But if that waiter and that waitress is kind and considerate, I'm going to give them their just due.
That's right.
And that's why we keep our blessings going. Sometimes I just didn't have the extra funds, but I made a point to bless them. I'm almost finished. Point blank. I'm just trying to feel where the Lord's going from here. That's all. I'm burning time. I stopped by Hardee's day before yesterday. I think it was day before yesterday. It may have been Thursday. I don't know. One of those days. It wasn't long ago. And I was the second person in line. You couldn't go in, but you had to go through the drive-thru. So I drove around and put my order in. All I wanted was three chili dogs and three small fries. I was feeding my youngins, you know. And I pull on up at the window, paid it. They said, well, sir, would you pull up? You know, so I, you know, tell the food get ready. So I pull on up, and somebody came behind me, And they didn't put, they pulled up behind me because they were blocking the window, so they had to pull over. And somebody else came up and they had to pull over. And I was there when I think Linda called, and I think I was there for 30 minutes then. And see, a chili dog, I mean, them things, they're already made pretty much. And anyway, to make a long story short, I was there. I think I ended up being there about 45 minutes before I got my order. But the lady that was behind me had pulled over. Somebody, and I thought, oh, here mine's coming now. After 45 minutes, no, it was for her. Some 10-piece chicken or something she got. And she got hers, and I said, oh, man, that's okay. No big deal. And then she still got out of the car and went back in. So I hate this. I had to go back in. She was angry because she had to wait so long. I said, look, I came before you. I'm still waiting. All I want is some hot dogs. And she got what she, I told her, I hate to do this. And was fussing and went back in to get her order straight and came back out. Then while she got her order up, so I got to be soon, the person that was behind her got their order. Then the person behind them got their order. And I said, this got to be mine coming out now. And, you know, I was just taking it all in. I didn't get angry. I didn't get upset. And I said, you know, something is going on inside of that place. And the manager came out, and I didn't ask. I knew something was going on. They were short of help, but somebody just didn't come in. I just walked off. So she came out to the car, and she said, look, I'm sorry that, you know, for the time, and just to make up for it, she gave me an apple turnover. And I said, this really made up for it. So what I did was, I said, I know things enough, but I said, look, baby, with the attitude, and you came out here, you smiling, and I said, just keep it up. Your day is going to get better. And I said, here, and I gave her 20% of what my bill was. And that's how you got to do stuff. Because God blessed me to have that. I pulled it out before. I knew I had to wait an hour. But I was determined. She had a good attitude, and things, you know, when you're a manager, you can't control a lot of stuff that goes in. And I know people were cussing her out, and a lot of people I saw drive around. Next thing I know, they didn't come behind me. Just, you know, just people are people. Anyway, if you have a dying situation in your life, you need to make sure you're in alignment. Your alignment is straight so you can shock Jesus. Philippians 2, starting at verse 5. It talks about Jesus. He says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and he became a servant. So he was equal to God, but he came underneath the Father. Well, what did the Father do? It goes on to say in verse 9, it says, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. And in verse 10 it says, so that at that name every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because he came under authority. God exalted him, what was under him, and now he is over everything. If you are unwilling to come under the legitimate authority God places you over, then you do not get God's help in what is underneath you. In Luke 7 and 9, chapter 7, verse 9, when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and said, turn and said to the crowd that was following him, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. I got an uncircumcised Gentile who's got more faith than my church folk. So the question is, who are you identifying with? Luke 7 and 10 says, when those who had been sent returned to the house, They found the slave in good condition. I told you that this is the day that the Lord has made. I personally, make it personal, I am going to rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care what circumstance, God has blessed you with something maybe last month. And what happens is you were so mind, it just blew your mind. You were so shocked and amazed, and you were happy. You were excited. But once you received those things, those items, or whatever it was, and you start using them, you went back to your old way. You stopped praising Him. That's why God says, make it simple for Him. This is the day. I don't care what happened yesterday. I don't care what you lost yesterday. I don't care about your health on yesterday. But this is the day. What is that telling me? You shocking Him, because all that stuff that's going on in your life, here you are. This is a brand new day. And Lord, if you didn't do it yesterday, I'm looking forward today. But I'm going to rejoice. What are you doing tonight? I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. If you get your alignment straight today, things that you need, things that you even desire, things that God knows you desire because He put that desire on your heart, and you thought and you waited and waited, I don't care what you lost, but God says, I am powerful enough to return that what the cankerworm has eaten, which you allowed to be eaten up. God is not complicated. He makes it simple. He makes His word so simple, even a child can understand it. Whatever thing that you need, God says, if you get it right today, you're going to get it back. See, y'all don't know how close this time is. All this stuff just not happening because it's happening. My brother talked about revelations this morning. He said, man, I get mixed up. I said, man, revelation, I've been all through that. You will get a little turned around and confused. But if you can line it up, all that's going on today, half the world is on fire. Then we had a big flood. Half the world is still on fire. All that rain, now half the world has been flooded, underwater. Then I talked about that, and then everything is not cold enough. You got snow falling. You had earthquakes. And all these things are happening simultaneously. And look at the people. Man, I thought I outgrew that stuff. Everything is stirred back up. See, this is a personal thing now. That's the important thing. I can stand up and I listen to some preachers, and they want you to talk back to them. What are they doing? Is it for themselves? If those that shout and shout and nobody try to tell them to, they're doing it as to the Lord. To me, I think you may want the thing, but because you said something new, you said, come on, I don't hear you now. I don't want to hear that. I personally don't want to hear it. I had people that refused for me, see, to pray for them because I wasn't serious enough. I tried to fake it one time because, yeah, I tried, and I got punished for it. I tried to go in one day. I remember this as good as anything. I had the opportunity to preach in the place of another at the pastor of the church at that time that had gone out of town, and it's my Sunday to speak. And I got up there, and she got up there, and man, we go out there, and people all stirred up, hey, all this hollering and yelling. I said, man, these people, they are used to that. So let me go ahead and try this. And then when I was young then, I have grown up from that mess. It was disappointing. Disappointing. That's why your salvation is an individual thing. That's why I can't tell you, I can't demand you to praise him. Because if God has done something and has affected you, I wouldn't have to ask you to praise him. See, let me tell you something. The lesson I learned in my first message that I ever preached, I've done things that I had no idea. See, this particular denomination, I should say, when you call people up to pray, they had to fall. You know, I fell into that rat hole too. Because it didn't affect me that way. It affected me, but not that way, but I had to fall. Man, this woman laid hands on me. And I started at the front, I ended up in the back of the church. And I said, if I don't fall now, this woman's going to have me outdoors. So I faked that thing. Oh, Lord, that was the worst thing I could ever do. I fought that thing for weeks after. Always come back. And then they talked about the right hand of fellowship. Well, I'm left-handed. I couldn't help that. When I was young, they tried to change hands. Then I found that I could write with both of them because it had me stop using this one and use this one. But I went back to left hand. And I was up there. And I never held a prayer line in my life. I called for a prayer line. The Lord told me it's as if he had a speaker in my ear. He told me who to talk to, to point to. And I said, just don't call him up. Just give him a word. And he said, use your left hand. It had nothing to do with the left or right hand. I knew something was strange about that. But he says, use your left hand. And what God has done in my first time I ever called a prayer line, I still think about it. Yeah. I'm telling you, I want you to come out here blessed this morning. It's so simple. God says, you have the ability now to shock him, to blow his mind, to amaze him in a positive sense. You have something going on in your life. All you have to do, he says, is stand up, and he just wants you, each person, with the conviction that they have, to tell God that this is the day that you have made. See, that eliminates all that doubt. That eliminates all that brokenness. That eliminates all that defeat that's stopping you from God from blessing you even further. Because we're coming from underalignment. All of a sudden, I'm doing this now. God couldn't do it. Somebody got to do it, so it must be me. He won't do it. And I see people get mad at God. And say, why would I go to church? Ain't no sense in going to church. I wouldn't doubt that the people are not in here today, that we're members of this church, not here because God has let them down. And even as bold as Pastor Scott is in praying and ministering, Pastor Tony in praying and ministering, and oh man, this young fella here, praying and ministering for him. If you are out of alignment, I don't care. If Jesus Christ couldn't do it, we couldn't do it. We can't do it. It's time to stop being fake Christians. Because that's all it is. It's time to stop losing Jesus Christ as somebody that's going to give you a gift for Christmas, a Santa Claus God. It's time to be real with God. I don't know when he's going to part those clouds. No man knows. But I know one thing. If he made a promise to you, I don't care if it's your bucket list. You desire something real big. Before he part that clouds, he will at least be obedient to what he had promised. And right now, we're in a situation. This pandemic has got people shook up. People lost jobs. People getting sick. Relatives have even dying. And I don't care what no one says. This church is the safest place to be. Come on. I want you to stand up. If you have something going on in your life, just stand up. Just those who will. If you don't need anything, health-wise,